This afternoon, everyone, as we draw close to the end of this year, we need to look at something here because we're caught smack dab in the middle of something that's affecting the whole world in which we live. This is a time that is experiencing a tremendous approval by the whole world in which we live. It's a period of time of great celebration, a celebration of the things that come forth in this world, and we need to understand it in the light of God's Word because this is quite different. And I want to emphasize it from a point of view maybe you hadn't thought of before, and I hope those who are listening and will hear this message will also take a consideration of how this really does impact us all. First of all, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, in which the evangelist Paul was telling Timothy, grooming him for his future service in the ministry. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to do something. I want you to realize he's talking to Timothy, but I want you to read these scriptures that he's talking to you. Put your initials in there somewhere so that he's saying, I charge you before God and Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick or the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And then it says, preach the word. Yes, this is directed first to the ministry. But you have an obligation as well to preach the word when people ask you why you do the things you do. Why do you take a different course than, say, maybe others around you? But it says, preach the word. This is first to the ministry. It says, be in season and out of season. There's a need for reprove and for rebuke. Exhort all with all long-suffering and doctrine, using the doctrine of the Word of God to guide and help the people of God and everyone around you. Now, it says there's going to come a time, and I believe strongly that time is here, that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine based on the Word of God, and after their own lusts or desires, they shall heap to themselves teachers, pseudo-didactyli, supposedly teachers who know certain things, but in reality, against the Word of God, they don't know what they claim they think they know. This is a situation where God is putting us all on the alert. He says, but after their own lust, it says, they'll heap to themselves these teachers, having itching ears, wanting to hear something new, always something exciting. But God gives us his word, and that's what is new, and that's what is always exciting, to read what God is doing. And then he says in verse 4, and they shall turn away from the truth. Now, who is revealed in the scripture as the truth? It's Jesus Christ. He says, I am the truth, the way, and the life. And here in this particular case, the society in which we live will actually be turning away from the true Christ of the Bible. They'll still be worshiping a Jesus, whom they call as the Christ, but they will have turned away from the real Jesus as revealed in Scripture. And so it says, because they have these itching ears, they'll turn away from the truth. And John 17:17 reminds you, thy word is truth. It's the Bible that confirms what is to be believed. Then he goes on to say, and they shall be turned to fables. They'll start looking in areas that really are a bunch of phony baloney. It's not anything to be considered. So we are told, not only the ministry, but so the lay membership of the church. It says, but watch in all things. It says, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist or a church member, what you're called to do. And do what? And make full proof of your ministry. That's the charge to the ministry. Make full proof of your conversion as a member of the body of Christ. And then it goes on and it talks about how, again, there is a crown of righteousness, Paul said, laid up for him and for everyone when that day of reality comes. So that is an exciting thing that is revealed to us in Scripture. And it reminds us, again, of a world situation, a time when people will no longer endure the truth. And I believe a lot of that is right now because on the internet you can get about anything and anything you want to believe and follow. But what the Bible reveals to you is that there's a time and a place for all things. There's a time where we are to do what? It says in verse 2, preach the word, be in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And what we are now living in is the out of season. When we talk about in season, we're talking about the holy days and the scriptures that deal with the plan and purpose of God, which are to be rehearsed each and every year. But out of season, we face other things that also need to be discussed. And what we're going to talk about today is something that I think you'll clearly identify. Much of this is a form of review, but I want to put it in such a way that I hope will illuminate some additional thoughts in your thinking about the time you are facing. We call this time, in the end of the month of December, a time of Christmas. And we hear a lot about this. We will turn on the radio or go to the shopping mall, and you will hear Christmas music coming to such a degree, it's just you're overwhelmed by it. It's everywhere. And it seems like it starts earlier and earlier each and every year. It will start then by Thanksgiving, and now they're moving it to Halloween. And then you're seeing Christmas trees showing up at the end of Halloween, just get rid of it, and here comes the other right behind it. You'll hear some songs that have a biblical theme behind them, and that's fine and good. I mean, there's nothing wrong with those and so forth. But you hear a vast majority of songs that will come across like this. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Okay, all right, what about that? It says, everywhere you go. So it shows this is something that's affecting the whole world, and the whole world right now is embracing in Christmas. And it's interesting because there are a lot of religions that don't practice Christianity, but they keep Christmas. They like it in China. They like it in Japan. They like it in different places because it's so celebrating. And that's the very interesting thing we want to look at. We have a song in music. You know, people love to celebrate. There was a song, I forget the name of the group, but they called it Celebration. Celebration. And everybody loves to celebrate. Now, that plays a very important part in what I'm going to refer to as the title of this message, Christmas, a celebration designed to deceive. Christmas, a celebration designed to deceive. Because again, it capitalizes on something everyone likes to do, and that is to celebrate. And we're going to look at that and see how it plays out in this world in which we live. But you'll hear songs like There's No Place Like Home for the Holidays and other songs that begin to touch you emotionally. You might be dreaming of a white Christmas, and Der Bingle, Mr. Bing Crosby, comes alive every December because they resurrect all his old songs and his Christmas song that he made famous, White Christmas. Then, of course, some newer songs come on the line like I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus. There must be something going on here. And what you begin to see is that, again, different things begin to come out and listen to, like, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I never knew Rudolph had a red nose, but the song said he did. Gene Autry, who first recorded that song many years ago, did not like that song, did not want to sing it. But he acquiesced and went ahead and did it and sold a million records because the people bought into it. They liked the idea of Rudolph going through the night, leading all the particular reindeer coupled with Santa, getting him where he had to go. And then, of course, we had The Night Before Christmas and with Charles Dickens and so forth. Then you had the religious songs, and these get into your mind. It's amazing how music really captures and soothes the savage beast, as they say. Well, here you have Silent Night. Then you have Came Upon a Midnight Clear, Away in a Manger, Little Town in Bethlehem, Come All Ye Faithful, Joy to the World, The First Noel. What we see here in all of this mass blasting of Christmas upon not only affecting the people of God, but the whole world. Now that's interesting because, again, we're told in 2 Corinthians 4:4, there is a God of this world. Who are we talking about? It's not the true God. We're talking about Satan the devil, as revealed in Scripture as the God of this world, this present time in which we're living. And what also goes in harmony with that? Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 reminds us of what? About that old serpent called the devil, who does what? Deceives the whole world. Now, how does he deceive it? Well, he does it in many different ways, but the topic we're talking about now is the religious aspect, for the most part, where he loves to say that this is a very special time for Christians. And it gets blurred with many other different elements, and we need to make sure that we understand what is our responsibility. How do we function as men and women of God called out of this world by the Creator himself to deal with these things? Because some of those melodies are very enchanting. And one I love personally, but it is not necessarily in terms of the normal Christmas season. It's a winter song called Winter Wonderland. It has nothing to do. It's just a secular song, beautiful message. But there are others that definitely focus in different areas. In other words, we learn that if Satan is the one, because again, if I use this term, Christmas, a celebration designed to deceive, and we see Revelation 12, 9, who designed it? Who's brought this to pass? Satan himself, the God of this world. And he has mesmerized mankind, and even many of us years ago. Think back when you were young, many of you, you're older now and converted. You've learned a lot of things over the years. And you remember how you felt emotionally when you saw the Christmas lights and you heard the songs and you kind of got into that ethereal feeling of the season. And all of us have been affected to one degree or another. God has called us out of that. So now we have to see through those songs that can mislead us in directions we shouldn't go. Many times you're dealing with people who don't know. They have not been called at this time to understand. So what happens when someone comes up to you and says, Merry Christmas? How do you respond? Very simple. Thank you. Just thank you. You don't have to go into any great explanation of anything. Or they say, Happy New Year. Again, the same. Do you have all your shopping done for Christmas? Oh, yeah. we're done because we don't even do it. Say, this is because we realize that's not part of our responsibility or calling. Do you have your tree up for this year? No. You know, that just floors them because they can't understand, what are you talking about? You don't have your Christmas tree up? You don't have this? As a Christian, how do we handle these things? Just to be honest, straightforward, and don't make an issue of things. We need to fully understand that we do not observe Christmas, and we need to be able to understand it from the point of view of teaching our children, if you have sons and daughters. As older folks, we have learned much of this, but the younger generation, they don't know these things. And as a result of that, they are left kind of hanging. Every year, there are many articles that are put forth in newspapers discussing the origin of Christmas. And so they know that. And they know that that day has pagan origins. They understand that. But they reason, and here's where the problem comes in. Human nature reasons. And it reasons that they don't do it for the same reason those other people did those things back then. They do it to honor Christ. Well, let's take a quick run through some of these things here to remind ourselves. Because if it ever gets to the place where we think we know everything, we're in trouble. So let's listen carefully and let's review something that even the world understands, but they just don't follow. 1994, Reader's Digest published an article, or actually a book, entitled Why in the World? Why in the World? And what it went through, beginning on page 190, it questions, why do we celebrate Christmas? Why do we do that? It's good to know why we do what we do. And that's what it's asking. He says, if the question offends you or the answer seems obvious, then read on, because he says, a feast with a semblance of Christmas called Sakea was celebrated thousands of years before Christ's birth. In 2000 BC, it was now in the area of what we now call modern-day Iraq. So here was a formula, a system of worship that was being observed, a five-day festival with, listen and see if there's a comparison here that we can identify with an exchange of gifts, the performance of plays. Do people go to see the Nutcracker, a play? You see, there are things all around us, and God tells us to watch and pray, accompanied by processions and merrymaking. Oh, yeah, people get together and they celebrate this time. It is a time of celebration. And the so-called parades or processions, oh, yeah, you can go through different towns and cities, and these little communities will have their so-called parades, and they'll block off the street, and they'll have different things come down, you know, with their different floats, because they're celebrating. It is through celebration, which is a normal thing. We love to celebrate as human beings. You do, I do, everybody does. But the adversary is so skillful, he is able to take celebration, a natural desire that we love to be with others and enjoy celebration, and he has a way of twisting it in a way that is evil and wrong from God's perspective. People can't see that. And when they see it, they're shocked. For example, we come to Europe, and in Europe, these beliefs spread, and they had a situation that developed in the winter. For example, they lit bonfires, they decorated their homes with evergreens, hollies, and firs. We hear that, you know, deck the halls with balls of holly. Why? Why these green things? Because normal creation is all kind of gone to sleep. The only thing out there is the green evergreens and things of that nature. So they're supposed to be in the picture of being ever alive. In the far north, the Baltic and Scandinavian countries, and the winter festival known as the Yule. Now, we've heard about Yule logs, and we know that they would burn those logs because they wanted the sun to come back again, because the winter solstice, the days were getting shorter. They wanted it to come back again. We know these things, but I guarantee you, the younger generation does not. They do not know their history. They have not studied these things. They have not compared the things of what they hear with what the Word of God says. And so they assume it all comes from God in the Bible, because somebody says it does. You have to prove all things and hold fast what is good. Now, the Yule festival was honoring the god Odin. Who in the world's Odin? Most people don't know. But here's one you do know, especially if you're a young person and you follow the Avengers, the modern-day DC comic strips. They have an individual called Thor. Ah, Thor and Thor's hammer. There you have it, folks. It's all around us. And people many times miss the connection. They took great logs and they literally would set them afire. Minstrels would sing, legends were discussed. Well, in the context of the Encyclopedia Britannica in the 11th edition, here's another very important. Boy, if you ever get a copy of that 11th edition, grab it. It's got some good stuff in there that you will not find in modern-day encyclopedias. But in the 11th edition, in Volume 6, it points out on page 294 that in Britain, December 25th, was a festival long before the conversion to Christianity. That's because there was a group of people called Druids, and they practiced Druidic customs. And people don't know, who's a Druid? Well, we got modern-day Druids today. We got a lot of this stuff from the past just comes, it's the same old, but recloaked and put in different names and terminologies. Reader's Digest goes on to say in this book, Why in the World, page 190, that by the time the Roman Empire comes on the scene, what happens, it turns into a week-long orgy of feasting and revelry. It was called the Saturnalia, after the god Saturn, and was held in mid-December when the sun was approaching its lowest, and of course they wanted it to come back. and it was called the birthday of the unconquered sun, Dies Natalis Invictus Solis. So here we have, again, situations that have happened in past generations, people who live just like you and I live today. They were surrounded by this type of influence, but they, at that time, were not practicing the way of God. You and I have been guilty of these same things. We're no better than anybody else, but we have had to come and repent by the calling of God and embrace His wonderful truth as revealed in the pages of the Scriptures, the Word of God. And when we understand that, then we have all had to make a very important change. We could say no longer could we deck our houses with greenery, exchange gifts at this particular time. It is a season of general rejoicing, goodwill to all men. That's what we hear. And those things are not bad. Rejoicing is wonderful, good things to all people. We certainly wish the best to people. But what makes the difference? What is the difference that you and I must understand? That when we learn the truth about the origin of world's customs and holidays, what difference does it make? That's what most people say. Well, what difference does it make? Reminds me of somebody else who was being interviewed and asked about a situation that happened and some people died, and the response on the person's behalf was, well, what difference does it make? Makes a lot of difference when people die. And that's what God's concerned about. He doesn't like seeing people die. And He doesn't want us to die. He wants us to walk in His ways that He might bless us accordingly. That's why He tells us in Jeremiah chapter 10, a very important chapter to be marked in your Bible, verses 1 and 2, where He thunders out through the prophet Jeremiah. He says, do not listen, learn the way of the heathen or the Gentiles, the nations. Why is it important not to learn that? Because Romans 15 and verse 4 tells us everything that has been written for our learning, so that we'll stay away from the bad and embrace only the good. Now, in this particular case, he goes on to say concerning the nations that Israel found itself smack dab in the middle. Now that was physical Israel. You and I are part of spiritual Israel, everyone who is called to the knowledge of God's ways at this time. And we are smack dab in the middle of the same thing, the customs of the world and the nations around us. They're doing the same thing today that past nations did. And what did Israel do? They blew it. They got embraced into the things of the world around them, which God told them not to get involved. And you and I are told the same thing. We have to lovingly not get involved. We don't get high and mighty with people. When people ask, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? We just explain, give an answer for the hope that lies within us. And it many times can be a simple answer like, well, I can't find that in the Bible, so I don't practice that. Or something of that nature, like, for example, Christmas is a Catholic holiday. It's a holy mass, and I'm not a Catholic. And that's how you can merely, simple answers. You don't have to get long and, you know, expository with people. But here's the thing. God is telling us in verse 1 of chapter 10 of Jeremiah, He says, for the customs, the things they do, the customs of the people are worthless. Now, this is from God's perspective. He says, if you're involved in this, He says, what you're doing is worthless from God's perspective. That's the NIV version. In verse 2, for the customs of the people are false. I think King James says vain, but it says false. And that's in the NRSV version. And verse 3 says, for the customs of the people are delusion. It's a thing designed to confuse you. It doesn't really add up. How do they worship God? That becomes the issue of the question involved. God wants us to worship Him His way, not the ways of the world. In fact, that's what He told His physical people, Israel, when He brought them out of Egypt. When you get into that land, that holy land, be careful of this. Make sure that you don't ask, how did these nations round about worship their God? We will do the same. God says, no, 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 you're not going to do the same. He said, because everything that they did, I hate. He said, because their customs have been absolutely wrong. They took away from, they burned their children into their gods. They did terrible practices, and history records these things. And that's therefore our learning again. But why is it important to know the way? Because the way has to do with the journey that we are on, the habit, the course of life, the moral character that involves all of us as human beings. Christianity, as the Bible defines it, is a way of life. That's important to keep in mind. It's a way of life. Acts 19, verse 9 and 23, talks about the way. Christianity is a way, and that evil was spoken of the way of God. The way of God is different from the way of the world. And God wants us to be on the proper course. You and I remember in the book of Proverbs, it says there is a way that seems right unto a man. And then does what? It's in Proverbs 14, verse 12, and then mentioned again in Proverbs 16, 25. So you have a double emphasis there, saying what? That there is a way that seems right. None of us want to be wrong. But he says, the problem is you are wrong and you just don't know it. Many of us didn't realize we were wrong. I remember years ago when I was young and growing up, this time of the year would come and, you know, up go the trees and all the lights and everything else. And what happened? You get this warm, fuzzy feeling all over you. And everybody else is doing it. All the neighborhoods are lighting their trees up and everything. And then you discover the truth as you get older and you realize, ooh, I have really been on the wrong track. Yes, we were on the broad way that leads to destruction, as Jesus said, but it is a straight and narrow path that leads to life, and few there be that find it, because most are willing to go the wrong way. That's sad, but that's what you and I are told to be careful of, that we are to do what? We are to govern our course of conduct, the way we live, the way we think, the way we make our decisions, that there is a way on how to worship God. That's a great revelation. A way. Now, what is that way? Well, God tells us. He specifies it in the Scriptures. He says there's a way that the Gentiles worship their gods, and there is a way that God has commanded those called by Him. First, his physical nation, Israel, and in the New Testament, the spiritual church of God, which Jesus Christ came to say, I will build my church. That's what you and I are a part of, and others who are sprinkled like salt all around the world whom God has been working with. How do they approach their God? Well, again, as I say, there is a way that seems right. They all seem right. They all believe they're right, but not everyone is right. And so it's important to keep that in mind. Whose way are we to follow as men and women in the church of God? And the answer, John chapter 14 and verse 6, where Jesus Christ makes it clear, he says, I am the way. Oh, then anything that deflects and takes you away from the focus of Jesus Christ is not the way. He is the way. And we are to listen to how he speaks, how he conducts himself, because he's the perfect role model for each and every one of us. He's the one that we've got to listen to. He's the one we've got to follow in his footsteps. He is the way. Now, there is a lot of well-meaning people who believe that they are worshiping Jesus during this season of the year. But that's not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. It's a different Jesus Christ, one that we are told to examine carefully and see whether or not it matches what the scriptural example is. In Matthew 15 and verse 9, it says that you can worship God in vain. Now, you don't want to worship God in vain. That's first and foremost. How does one do that? By creating your own man-made religion. And that's what human beings have done. There's only one true church. It's a spiritual organism made of God. It has individuals sprinkled all over. But it does not follow the rules of men. It follows the rules and guidelines of God. And the reason it's vain, it's because it's without any result. In vain means to no avail, no result. It's not going to produce anything to those who embrace that. What God makes very clear in Leviticus 18, in verses 1 through 5, that's Leviticus 18, 1 through 5, that the message of the Old Testament and the New is consistent. It's consistent. And what it says is that we are to worship God in the manner that He tells us, not what others tell us. That's important. It's important that we listen to what God has to say, because He says it is not by quaint customs of the nations that surround us are the way to go. So as we live our time and our day in this world, it is important not to be involved or practicing or be concerned about, well, shouldn't I be doing what everybody else is doing? The answer is no. God has called us out of that. He does not want us to be involved in that. And what makes the difference? Well, people say, well, it doesn't make any difference. And God thunders back, it makes a big difference to God. He told ancient Israel, He says, you're not going to worship me like these nations worship their gods. And you read about that in the examples of the Old Testament. They did horrific things to their people in terms of worship. They even sacrificed their children to their gods like Molech. And God is not the author of that. He's the God of life. And He wants to give life to all His creation. But He does require a response on our behalf. He covers all the bases necessary. It's His plan, the Alpha and the Omega. But He tells us very plainly, if you want to be a part of this great plan of salvation that I have ordained, because human beings have gone astray and need to be brought back where they need to find their relationship with God. And God is revealing to us, from His perspective, it does affect our salvation. Because if we worship God in vain, it doesn't score any points for us. We have to do as He has commanded. Sometimes an argument is made, well, we observe them to honor Christ. And we made them Christian by the way we observe them. And that's not going to hold water either, because God is the one who determines how He wants to be worshipped. How do we honor Christ? Matthew 7, verse 21 through 27. You honor Christ by obeying Him, by following His instructions, not somebody else's, but God's instruction. And as long as the one who is administering and representing God follows those instructions, you can put confidence in that leadership and only that leadership as it follows Christ. That's why Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, 1 Corinthians 11:1. Because we're all imitators. We're imitating our Lord and Savior. We're practicing the very element of being Christ-like in our manner and behavior. Deuteronomy 12, verse 29 through 32, God has the authority to tell us how to worship Him. That's Deuteronomy 12, 29 through 32. He is the only one who has the authority because He's the Creator. And again, we see that the Old Testament and the New Testament are consistent. It's the same. That's what we're told about Jesus Christ. He who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what is there that is Christian about Christmas? Well, That creates a problem because we've got December 25th is given to us, and we see birth of the sun god. We see the winter solstice. We see giving and commercialism all wrapped up into this season of the year. We see about the Yule log, decorations, and Christmas trees, and of course, the guy in the red suit on his sleigh, Santa Claus. And you can rephrase those words, and it could be very close to Satan Claus, depending on how you want to look at that man who seems to be revered in the minds of little children when Jesus Christ should be revered in the minds of young children. And that's where moms and dads have a heavy responsibility. And let's face it, folks, none of us have done it 100% the way it needs to. We've all made mistakes in this area. God, thank God for God that He's merciful when we acknowledge we failed. Some of our children, they connect. Some of our children do not connect. And that's because it's in God's hands. All you can do is pray for them. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for your friends. Pray for kings and rulers. The Bible tells us to do these things. We're not supposed to be just sitting on a bench doing nothing. God has given us plenty to do and to walk humbly with our Creator so that He can bless us accordingly. No, when we look at the reason for the season, we see why we don't observe it, because it teaches the opposite of what Scripture teaches. It teaches, again, lies, that there is somebody called Santa Claus. And then, of course, children growing up are smart. Hey, look, he said, that one was over there. How did this one get over here? And how does he get with all these gifts and things he's getting? How does he get in that sleigh? How can he go around the world? You know, children are very smart. They observe, and they start asking questions. You know, does he use a helicopter? Does he use a jet? What does he use? A sleigh with reindeer doesn't sound very effective. But when you take all this into consideration, that to tell children there's a Santa Claus and that he comes around the world with reindeer, children are watching all year, and they've got to be careful because otherwise they're not going to get anything if you're naughty or nice. You know, it's all going to be determined who? By Santa. God says our future is determined by Jesus Christ. And we better be striving to do the right thing because it's important and it affects our salvation. No, it teaches an emphasis that is not taught by Scripture. That is imperative to keep in mind this season of the year. It does not emphasize and teach what is in the Scripture. It does not, the emphasis is not on His birth. When you study the Scripture, the emphasis is on what? His teaching, what He taught, what He said you and I must do. As the young rich man came up, he says, Lord, what must I do that I may be saved? And then Jesus answered him and told him. He gave him the very instruction that he needed. So Jesus teaches us how to live. The world pictures him as a baby in the manger, overshadowed by his mother Mary, as if Mary is so much more important. And that is not the way the Scripture is written. When she was visited by the angel Gabriel, and she heard all these things, and she asked questions, and then it says she kept it all, may the will of the Lord be so, and then she said she kept them all in her heart and pondered these things. She, you know, where is this going? Because she was part of a dynamic plan that God had orchestrated, and Mary was a wonderful young virgin who became the physical mother of the Son of God. And Jesus was a son of man. But he was the Son of God by divine impregnation of the Holy Spirit. And that brought him into the divine divinity that he was the Son of God in the flesh as well. It would be worshiping a false god to keep the customs of this world. Interesting how people who once knew this truth are now back in the world putting up Christmas trees, going back and doing things that everybody else is doing. And they think there's nothing wrong with it. And yet the Scriptures speak loud and clearly about it. They're doing just the opposite. What is the purpose of worship anyway? If we were to ask ourselves that, the bottom line is, it is to obey God, the one and only true God. And you and I have had to learn that. Remember, as I said, it's a learning experience all the days of your life. You learn as a child, then you learn as a teenager, then you learn as a young adult, then you're in middle age and you learn that. Then you move into your latter years of life. Every step of the way is a learning process. And you are to learn those processes through the Spirit of God working with you to help you understand the purpose of worship, why God has to be revered, and we are to stand in awe of the one true God. When you see some of the things that try to represent God, it's a joke, because they don't even come close to representing what God truly is. In John chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, John 4, 22 through 24, we are told to worship God in spirit and in truth. So if John 17:17 holds, and it does, that the Bible is God's word written for our learning, then we are to be led by the power of his Holy Spirit and devoted to the word of God to help us see which way to go, because you and I don't know which way to go. We don't know our right hand from our left hand without God telling us which way to go. That brings the right result. And to worship him in spirit and truth, you've got to have the word of God. Now, the word worship is very interesting when you explore in some of the different commentaries. Here are some thoughts to share with you. And think about this in terms of the world we live in and what is practiced. The word worship can mean, number one, to kiss the hand. To kiss the hand. Is there any example in the world that we see today that is popular in religion where the kissing of the hand is done? The answer, yes. In Italy, there is an individual who sits on a particular responsibility within his church denomination, and what do? When they greet him, they always puts forth his hand, and they kneel and kiss the hand as a form and an acknowledgement, a token of reverence. It is God only who is to be revered. No human being is to be revered. But it also can mean an expression of respect. Now, if you go to that particular area in the city of Rome, you will find there's a statue there, and it has a statue of Peter. And his hand is worn off to a great degree because people go through that place and visit it, and they kiss the hand. There's been a whole lot of kissing going on because the hand is now being, it's virtually gone in some places because it's worn away. But God wants us to understand, worship involves our total submission and our will to God himself. Now, that is our struggle. That's why the Bible, folks, tells us we have a battle called overcoming. We have to overcome the adversary, Satan the devil. We have to overcome the world in which he has created all this design. For what purpose? To mislead, to take us in the wrong direction. And that's exactly what happened when Christmas was then Christianized. It was just an absorption of pagan practices from the past. And people know it, but they say it doesn't make any difference. Well, it doesn't maybe to human beings, but it makes a whole lot of difference to God himself. And God says, if you're with me, you better follow my instructions, not out there in that world. We live in it, but we're not a part of it. It doesn't mean we're any better than anybody else out there. It just merely means they don't yet see what you and I have been privileged to see. So we don't cast stones at them. We don't say, we're better than you are. No, that's dangerous water to get in that idea. We walk humbly and thank God for the knowledge he's given us. Because without that knowledge, we would be just like them out there keeping Christmas, just as deceived and under the power of the God of this world. where God has called us out, and we are now under the powerful hand of Almighty God. He is the one to whom we give reverence to, and we must humble ourselves to acknowledge when we find ourselves in error and change according to his instruction. And he's more than willing to forgive us. But there are a lot of people who don't want to do that. And because of that, they're going to have some serious troubles in the years ahead. Your God, my God, is the one whom you obey. When God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, that's the God we serve. When people say, it doesn't matter which day you observe to worship God, is that what the book says? That's where we have to check ourselves out and prove what is correct. No, what we find today is that teaching and observing of these former pagan days, what is being done to us in the name of Christmas? They're hiding the truth of who is the organizer behind all this. Who's got us, who knows our emotional feelings, who knows we like to celebrate, who knows we, because we were made to. God wants us to do what? He wants us to keep his holy days, and those holy days are feasts of celebration of God's salvation. That we're not lost. We're not going to end up in hellfire somewhere. That we will have the blessing of God and we'll be able to shine like the stars in heaven and be with Jesus Christ and all the holy angels and our brothers and sisters in Christ and have a wonderful future that goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. Never stops. That's what God offers. No wonder Satan wants to blind the eyes of people and keep them from understanding that. The scripture cannot lie. It represents God's word, who cannot lie, Titus 1:2, who offers us the gift of eternal life. No, you find out this in Romans chapter 1, and verse 18, you find that God is angered because of the suppression of the truth, who hide the truth about what's really going on. And therefore, since it's being hid in mysteries that people cannot understand, they're lost. They don't understand what's really happening to them. And God says, when they hide the truth, alternate translations use the word, who suppress the truth. Would you validate that in your own mind? Do we live in a day and age where truth is being suppressed? Oh yeah, big time. People are confused. They don't know which way to go. And it goes on, it says in verse 25 of that same chapter, that truth was changed so that people would believe a lie. Well, you and I were not called to believe a lie, but to believe the truth of God. And what happens today is that Christmas is hidden because people think that it is Christian and that it honors Christ. But the study of the scripture shows that is not the case. So this is a reaffirmation today of what we have been called to be a part of. Christianity observes Christmas, Easter, St. Valentine's Day, Halloween. Those days are not in the Bible. How many people today can give you an answer and tell you about, will you please explain to me God's holy days as mentioned in the scripture, Old Testament and New? Huh? That's the way they would look at you. What are you talking about? Me, you know, what holy days? I keep Christmas. I keep Easter. Aren't those God's holy days? Many of us thought they were years ago. And so we had to learn why God says, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Because what you're watching and observing is worthless. If it doesn't connect with God and his plan of salvation, it's worthless. You're wasting your time. So it's best not to get involved in things that cause you to waste your time. No, they don't know. And the holy days picture what? The true plan of salvation. How this loving God of creation from the foundation of the world has designed a plan that after we as human beings have so terribly messed up our lives, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Once we do that, that puts us under the curse of the law, and if Jesus hadn't come to fulfill and take that curse upon himself on our behalf, we would be terminated forever. So this is a marvelous revelation of Scripture. God eventually will offer salvation to all mankind, but the time is not yet. There is much yet to happen. You can worship God, or you cannot, excuse me, worship God any way you want to. You might choose to do that, but God is saying no, that the main reason Israel went into captivity is because they didn't follow instructions. Wow, that speaks loud to us today, because there are a lot of things happening on the world scene prophetically. In 2 Kings chapter 17, you read in verses 5 through 18 that they worshiped Baal and Ashtaroth. They weren't worshiping God. They had gone back to the world, and the book of Judges chapter 2 talks about how they worshiped Baal and Ashtaroth. Baal represents Nimrod that is spoken of after the flood, the originator of these mysteries, and Ashtaroth represents Semiramis, his wife, that, again, they perfected this system of worship. To worship what is going on today is to be involved in the Babylonian customs of the past. I've only scratched the surface of this, folks. It could be a lot more. This is just a year-end review of something, because God tells us, just like we have to go through the holy days and be reminded, let's not forget where we came from and have a heart for the world in which we live, because we were in that world. We still live in this world, but we have to make a clear-cut delineation as to where we stand in our relationship with God. And that's why this topic is so important, because to those who have younger children, you have a heavy responsibility to teach them. We know that the generation called millennials are on a different wavelength today. They're having problems really understanding their relationship with God. And we have booklets and articles on there on our website, the United website. God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and truth. That's what you and I have been called to. He reminds us each and every year, don't get off on a stray path. Don't begin to yearn for thinking that you were left out somehow. You're missing everything. And the temptation comes when especially you want to be with your loved ones and they say, well, why can't you come on over? Why can't you be with us? Well, how are you going to face your grandchildren? Because they're all going to be busy doing what? The customs of the world. Is there something wrong with grandma and grandpa because they won't come and give us a present? Tugging on the emotional strings of every human being. That's how Satan works. He doesn't appeal to the intellect. He appeals to the emotion. And therein is where the deception lies. And we must be extremely alert to that and pray for insight and wisdom from God so that we don't fall prey to that. We don't cast stones at anybody. We were just as blind and in deception as everyone else. But we praise the living God and Jesus Christ who have called us out of that and through the power of his mighty Spirit has given us eyes to see in the Bible what we never were able to see prior, and we couldn't connect the dots and make sense out of any of it. And so most people just go with the flow. That's what we did. That's what we're not going to do anymore, because God has called us to walk to a higher standard, and that standard is to glorify our God and Jesus Christ in the eyes of all people that we come in contact with. Your example is important. Don't sell it short.